Welcome to the podcast for the weekend of March 4, 2022. This week we pray for innocents who are caught up in the midst of war and that God's will be done in our nation and throughout the world. If you have found the podcast to be a blessing, please share with a friend and thank you for listening. Our first reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 26. When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance, and have taken possession of it and live in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground which you harvest from your land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket, and you shall go to the place that the Lord your God will choose to make his name to dwell there. And you shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our fathers to give to us. Then the priest shall take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. And you shall make response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there, few in number, and there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians treated us harshly, and humiliated us, and laid on us hard labor. Then we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice, and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great deeds of terror, with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place, and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And behold, now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground which you, O Lord, have given me. And you shall set it down before the Lord your God, and worship before the Lord your God. And you shall rejoice in all the good that the Lord your God has given to you, and to your house, you, and the Levite, and the sojourner who is among you. Our next reading is from Romans chapter 10. The Apostle Paul writes, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Our next reading is from Luke chapter 4. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days, and when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, to you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours. And Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And he took him to Jerusalem, and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. The reading for our discussion today comes from Exodus chapter 23. You shall not spread a false report. You shall not join hands with a wicked man to be a malicious witness. You shall not fall in with the many to do evil, nor shall you bear witness in a lawsuit, siding with the many so as to pervert justice. Nor shall you be partial to a poor man in his lawsuit. If you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey going astray, you shall bring it back to him. If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying down under its burden, You shall refrain from leaving him with it. You shall rescue it with him. You shall not pervert the justice due to your poor in his lawsuit. Keep far from a false charge, and do not kill the innocent and righteous, for I will not acquit the wicked. And you shall take no bribe, for a bribe blinds the clear-sighted and subverts the cause of those who are in the right. You shall not oppress a sojourner. You shall know the heart of a sojourner, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. For 6 years you shall sow your land and gather in its yield, but the seventh year you shall let it rest and lie fallow, that the poor of your people may eat, and what they leave the beasts of the field may eat. You shall do likewise with your vineyard and with your olive orchard. 6 days you shall do your work, but on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may have rest, and the son of your servant woman and the alien may be refreshed. Pay attention to all that I have said to you, and make no mention of the names of other gods, nor let it be heard on your lips. 3 times in the year you shall keep a feast to me. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread, as I commanded you. You shall eat unleavened bread for 7 days at the appointed time in the month of Abib, for in it you came out of Egypt. None shall appear before me empty-handed. You shall keep the feast of harvest, of the first fruits of your labor, of what you sow in the field. You shall keep the feast of ingathering at the end of the year, when you gather in from the field the fruit of your labor. 3 times in the year shall all your males appear before the Lord God. You shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with anything leavened, or let the fat of my feast remain until the morning. The best of the first fruits of your ground you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. You shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. Behold, I send an angel before you to guard you on the way and to bring you to the place that I have prepared. Pay careful attention to him and obey his voice. Do not rebel against him, for he will not pardon your transgression, for my name is in him. But if you carefully obey his voice and do all that I say, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. When my angel goes before you and brings you to the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I blot them out, you shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do as they do, but you shall utterly overthrow them and break their pillars in pieces. You shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from among you. None shall miscarry or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. I will send my terror before you, and will throw into confusion all the people against whom you shall come. And I will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. And I will send hornets before you, which shall drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites before you. I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the wild beasts multiply against you. Little by little, I will drive them out from before you, until you have increased and possessed the land. And I will set your border from the Red Sea to the sea of the Philistines, and from the wilderness of the Euphrates. For I will give the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you shall drive them out before you. You shall make no covenant with them and their gods. They shall not dwell in your land, lest they make you sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you. Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. Hallelujah. When you watch your favorite sport, you expect the referees to be fair in the way they handle things. They're supposed to be impartial. That means that when a call is made, you expect that call to be an accurate assessment of the play. If there's a penalty or foul that is assessed, you expect the referees to make the right call. We probably all figure that calls go a certain way based on the reactions of the fans, whether that is true or not. Now, that's not the truth in all cases, but I'm just saying in a few cases, that may be the way things go. A lot of angry fans could potentially influence a call or maybe the next call. It shouldn't, but let's face it, it would be not hard not to be concerned about thousands of angry fans yelling about a call. Don't you think that possibly the home crowds might mean the refs may be more favorable to a home team? To side with the fans would make the referee's process a lot less stressful, wouldn't it? It's not supposed to be that way. The referee is supposed to be impartial. As we learned in biblical hermeneutics years ago, hermeneutics is the principles of interpretation. The reader's perception and other factors can play into how we interpret the text. It's impossible not to carry some bias one way or another, because everyone has a viewpoint, and that viewpoint cannot be neglected. But our principles regarding fairness can influence us to act against what would generally be our own interests. Now, we as fans and observers, when we look at the calls that refs make, can look at those calls and assess them fairly, even when we're watching our favorite team. We can look at the replay and say, yes, that was a foul, or yes, that deserved a penalty, even when it goes against our team. So Exodus 23 opens up by giving some guidelines regarding witness that flow right out of the eighth commandment. It warns against spreading false reports, joining with a wicked man to be a malicious witness, or joining with others to influence justice perversely. Whether someone is rich or poor, they should get a fair judgment of their situation. We shouldn't side with one or the other based on bribery or based on whether we despise one party or the other. That wouldn't be fair. That wouldn't be a right judgment. Would it be right to put an innocent man in jail because we do not like that person? Would it be right to keep someone from a due punishment because they paid us, or because we were family or a friend? Justice should have a fair and impartial standard of right and wrong, and that's what the beginning of this chapter is talking about. Our guide should be Scripture, with a sense of God's standard of right and wrong according to God's will and not our own. Verse 4 says, "If you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey going astray, you shall bring it back to him." The world would say, kick an enemy when they're down. The biblical standard is different. If a person has a sense of honor, they will seek to do what is right. They will seek to follow God's ways. These laws establish a standard of who is in the right. Verse 9 says, "You shall not oppress a sojourner." And so here we're reminded that the children of Israel were once foreigners in the land of Egypt. If someone is from another country living in your hometown or your home country, you should not treat them badly because they come from another land. In verses 10 and 11, we learn that farmers should gather in their crops for 6 years, but in the seventh leave a particular field without planting or harvesting. Anything that grows there in that year may be eaten by the poor or the animals of the field. This could have been managed with a rotation of fields, certainly. You wouldn't keep all of your fields fallow during that time. You would farm some of those fields and let one particular field lie fallow while farming the others, and then rotate that over the years. It's commanded that Sabbath rest is for the animals and for servants as well as the farmer or master of a land. In our day and age, we would do well in our careers and our jobs to remember not only that we need a day of rest, but that those who might work under us need rest too. And so this is a reminder for managers. Your workers need rest. You need to treat them well. Verse 13 is a warning against idolatry. Idolatry is the road to death. Israel's history is dogged with idolatry. It is only by complete lies and deception that anyone could believe that anything or anyone else is a substitute for the God of the universe who has created us and wants the best for us. It is only by human arrogance and a stubborn narcissistic streak that we would put our faith in ourselves over God. Our gifts and talents can dry up as quickly as they appeared because they come from God. From here, starting with verse 14, various feasts and important festivals will be laid out. Three here are specified. The Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days is in the month of Abib, in the springtime. This is the Passover feast, and it was observed similarly in Jesus' time. This was to commemorate the Passover, when God brought his people Israel out of Egypt, out of the land of death and slavery. God always intended for them to keep that important event when he brought them out by his mighty hand. And of course, that was a model for things to come. When Jesus dies on the cross, he becomes the ultimate Passover sacrifice for us, that death might pass over us. Verse 16 speaks of the Feast of the Harvest. There is an offering of the first fruits of labor. This offering is an offering of faith, because it is God who provides all abundance in all fruits of the field. We can be completely without money, and yet God provides fruit in abundance to feed us. The first fruits are those crops that come first in the growing season. We can begin to gather those in. When Israel gave of the first of their crops to God, it showed their faith, because they knew that God would continue to provide through the growing season, and this wouldn't be the end of their harvest, only the beginning. Giving of our first, or giving of our best, is an act of faith in God. When Abel gave his offering in primeval times, he gave of his best. God does not need our offerings, but giving our best demonstrates that we trust God enough to continue to provide enough abundance for our needs and the needs of our families. God will take care of us. The third festival spoken of here is the Feast of Ingathering. As I read this, this is the final gathering of the year at the end of the growing season. For us, we celebrate Thanksgiving. We come to worship God and thank him for his gifts. At ingathering, they made an offering to God and would have stored their crops for both food and seed for the next year. Some of these laws and commands will be mysteries to us, and some of them are to me as well. But once you understand the context and culture of the time, some of these mysteries can be cleared up. And there are always new things coming to light, new insights. Verse 18 talks about not offering the blood of sacrifice with anything leavened. The Lutheran Study Bible points out that leavening is a symbol of sin. In Luke chapter 12, verse 1, Jesus warns of the leaven of the Pharisees. Sin corrupts what is good and right and pure. It grows and infects and corrupts what is good and right and pure. It is blood that atones for sin, but leaven, yeast, corrupts that. The Lutheran Study Bible also says that boiling a young goat in its mother's milk was a practice of the Ishmaelites. Who were the Ishmaelites? The Ishmaelites were also descended from Abraham, as the Israelites were, but the Ishmaelites were not descended of the child of promise, who was Isaac. Ishmael was born to the Egyptian maidservant Hagar. Boiling a young goat in its mother's milk dishonors God's gift of life. The creatures which God gives are a blessing from him. And it is okay to eat meat because we need protein, and God has said that it is all right. He said it was all right in the time of Noah. And God allows us to take the lives of these animals for our body's needs. However, we need to be good stewards of animals and care for them. We need to be good stewards of what God gives. To boil a young goat in its mother's milk would be an offense, a misuse of God's gift of all life, like taking something good and desecrating it in some way. Verse 20 now speaks of the conquest of Canaan, which is coming. This is the land that God had promised to Abraham. When God ordains that things are going to happen, they will happen. He will make them happen, no matter how long it takes for them to come about. The people in these lands engage in idolatry, even the sacrifice of humans, including children. If they are allowed to continue on, they will multiply and spread throughout the earth. They are like the leaven of which we spoke just a little bit ago. God's judgment here is a righteous judgment. God is sending an angel to prepare this. He says, pay careful attention to him and obey his voice. Do not rebel against him, for he will not pardon your transgression, for my name is in him. But if you carefully obey his voice and do all that I say, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. This war is like the battle against the devil. These peoples have nothing to do with God, and their mode of operation is life-destroying and soul-destroying. God sits outside of time and history and can see all that is going to take place. He knows all the outcomes, and if these peoples continue, their leaven will spread throughout the world. We may want to live and let live, but when we speak of those who destroy life and soul, there's judgment upon that. We may be against the death penalty and not want that for anyone, but the truth is that if people know the death penalty is coming for certain actions, they may think twice about carrying out those actions. Having that penalty there may actually bring about less death and bloodshed in society. Israel is also not to worship the gods of these peoples. You shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do as they do, but you shall utterly overthrow them and break their pillars in pieces. These verses are about wiping out and destroying evil. In serving God, they shall be blessed, and God will release them from sickness. God will accomplish the defeat of these peoples by sending terror and confusion on them. God is going to take care of the hard part. They only need to do what he says. God will drive them out incrementally within the borders of the land that is to be theirs, from the Red Sea to the Sea of the Philistines, from the wilderness to the Euphrates. These lands are going to be theirs. They are not to make covenants with the gods of these peoples. Not only do they not have powers, but we understand that their gods can have demonic connections. They are not gods, but giving into these things can open the people of Israel to various evils, including demonic possession. The final verse says in chapter 23, if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you. Sin is a snare. It is a deadly snare. If you let it in the door, it will rule over you. As God told Cain in primeval times, sin is incremental that way. Once you give into a particular offense, it becomes easier the next time and the next time until you convince yourself that sin is not really a sin. Jesus wants us to follow him. Jesus is going to guide us to safety. He's going to guide us through the valley of the shadow of death. If we desire to follow Jesus, we're desiring what is good and right and true. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We battle the old Adam and the sin nature. Our only way out of the traps and snares of life is to put our complete trust in Jesus. He forgives our sins. He restores us out of them. He has fulfilled the law. In the same way, our Savior gently shows us our sins, teaches us to give them up and give them away, and acts as a guide and a rule for our lives. But then, where the law can only lead us to despair, when we realize we've failed and cannot measure up, Jesus redeems us out of our sins, and his perfect and righteous sacrifice on the cross for us covers our sins. We are made right, justified by faith in God through Christ Jesus, whose righteous blood covers our sins. We must give away our pride and humbly rely on Jesus. He is the only way, the only salvation that can save us from our old Adam and our piles of misdeeds. Those deeds will be the death of us, but Jesus is life and salvation. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord Jesus Christ, we have stacks of misdeeds for which our good deeds cannot atone. Our righteousness is filthy rags, but your righteous and holy sacrifice and your precious blood covers my sins. Thank you, Jesus, for doing this. Thank you, Jesus, for getting us out of this mess. Help us always to look to you and trust in faith. Amen. We continue with additional prayers. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we pray for innocents who are caught up in the midst of war in this time. We pray that your will be done in our nation and throughout the world. Lord, we pray that you would restore us out of our sin. We pray that you would be with those needing healing, those needing comfort, those needing restoration. Bring them healing and restoration through your Son, Jesus Christ, and give them faith in him through your Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen. Our special verses this day come from Romans chapter 10, verses 8 and 9. The Apostle Paul writes there, "But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." All of our scripture verses, all of our scripture passages come from the English Standard Version of Scripture.
On my heart imprint your image, blessed Jesus, King of grace, that life's riches, cares, and pleasures never may your work erase. Let the clear inscription be, Jesus crucified for me. In my life's my hope's foundation, and my glory and salvation. On my heart imprint your image, blessed Jesus, King of grace, that life's riches, cares, and pleasures never may your work erase. Let the clear inscription be, Jesus crucified for me. He's my life's, my hope's foundation, and my glory and salvation. On my heart imprint your image, blessed Jesus, King of grace, that life's riches, cares, and pleasures never may your work erase. Let the clear inscription be, Jesus crucified for me. Here's my life, my hope's foundation, and my glory and salvation.